Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we continue the series, What If? Week 4, What If I Lived With No Condemnation? Let's listen in.
It's interesting. Anybody in here, here's my honest question. I like to ask honest questions. Anybody here ever made a mistake before? Raise your hand. All right. If you haven't raised your hand, you're lying. It's interesting. One of my favorite, I put a post on Facebook yesterday and I just said, tell me about your favorite DIY recipe or something mistakes you've ever tried. And people are talking to me about all these things we tried. Alicia's not here today. Talking about she made a lizard cake and she missed a leg on it. And so that's pretty funny, but all these things. And so that, I did this a few years ago and it's one of my favorite things. Have you guys ever heard it? Nailed it? Like they tried, nailed it. And so on a count of three, I want you guys all to do this with me. I want you to say nailed it. One, two, three. All right, there we go. So this is going to work out a lot easier. I'm going to show you some pictures of people who tried and miserably failed. You guys ready for this? Okay, you can go to the next one. I love the first one because it's Easter. would you even want to eat those? Okay, guys, one, two, three. Nailed it. All right, go next one. This is pretty awesome. I don't even know what that's supposed to be. What did they do? They, one, two, three. Yeah. Next one. This is my favorite. If you don't know, I'm a Bronco fan. And this is really sad. If it was my birthday and you gave me this cake, I would make fun of you. I would probably call you a Packer or Viking fan. And one, two, three. Yeah. Next one. This is, this is what I want to say. I don't know if it's a parent who made this, a mom, I don't know who made this, but can you imagine being all excited about this and showing this to your kid, and your kid be like, oh my! Wouldn't you as a kid just get scared of this? You wouldn't be excited, that would be scary. Next, one, two, three. Next one. This is, I can't do a lot of things, but I could do that. What is this called? Nailed it. Next one. This is what I don't understand. You go from one eye to two eyes. That's what I don't get. I mean, you can try, but I don't know. So one, two, three. Next one. You know what I love about this one? I would still eat it. Anybody else with me? I would just still go after it. I don't care how that looks. I'm like, dude, colorful pancakes, that's awesome. So that's great. One, two, three. Next one. This is, don't you just see stuff on Pinterest and you're like, I could try this. And you show it with your kids and this is what comes up. So another nail. Go next one, game. That'd be awesome. This is what I find, especially new parents, and because I've been there, we got little kids, we're gonna go say, oh, we're gonna do something cool, pictures awesome for Easter or whatever. I saw this on Instagram and you try this and it never works out. Like one, how can you ever get a kid to pose? I just take 1,000 pictures for one picture, right? So one, two, three, next one. All right, if the one on top looks like your family, raise your hand. If the one on bottom looks like your family, raise your hand, right? That's all of us. All right, next one. I find, this is by far my favorite. Trying to be like Thor, and they put, guys, CDs. 100% for creativity. A plastic bag on his head, that's pretty awesome. So next one, go to the next one. This is, if you're not laughing yet, you haven't caught on to this yet. I don't know where to go from this one. Go to the next one. This guy. Now, here's my honest thing. If you're part of 30 for Freedom, I'm going to do the 5K. When I get done, this is what's going to happen to me. That, just right there. Just going to be bored. All right. I think that's it, right? Is that it? I think we're good. And you can go to the next picture. Here's the deal. It's funny because the reason I say this is because in life, we just make mistakes. Nailed it. Just got that one wrong. And it's interesting how we go through life hoping to do something right, and we just kind of mess it up as the day goes. And it's interesting, just this morning, my daughter gave me a package of her Nerds, just this morning, and it's not really my mistake, but I told her, don't eat them right now, save them for later. And so she literally gives me an open package of Nerd candy. My pocket is now filled with Nerds in my pocket. So the whole service, I'll be having my hands in my pocket eating Nerds. So just so you know. But mistakes happen. You do things. You ruin the laundry with something. You put colors in the whites. But we also make different mistakes. And today is all about going through these mistakes. And who I want to talk about today, of course, is Jesus, because this is resurrection. But leading up to it by a guy named Peter. And Peter is interesting because Jesus gives this guy, Peter, a prophetic word, which is, you're going to be the rock and we're going to build the church on you. And so this is like way before, right when Jesus and Peter started to get to know each other, Jesus calls Peter and says, you're the rock. But the last few weeks, I want to touch on this. The last few weeks, if you haven't been here, for the last 2 weeks we've been talking about, you need to decide, are you going to be a person who walks in faith, or are you going to be a person who walks in fear? The difference is people who walk in fear make decisions based upon their fear and what they're afraid of. They make literally making decisions because of the things that they're cautious or the risks they're going to take, and they're just scared. People who walk in faith are walking in faith what they believe God has told them, or their relationship with the Lord, and they're growing. And so we need to become people who are walking in faith. This is the dilemma we all face. We all have this with every decision. Are we going to walk in fear, or are we going to walk in faith? Last week, I actually talked about Peter, and some of you actually got one of these when you came in. If you didn't grab one of these, make sure you get one of these, but I printed these out. This is based off last week's message, and I talked about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water. And every step he took, he was walking towards Jesus. And the thing I mentioned, and I want to make sure you guys know this, is even though Peter took his eyes off Jesus, Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. Amen? And even though he began to sink, Jesus reached down and pulled him back up. And so Peter has this experience where he has the faith. He steps out, and in the midst of stepping out, the fear of the storms, and honestly, the fear of walking on faith scares him, where he begins to sink. And so you have Peter who stepped out and was crazy, and then moments later, he started to sink. And so on the back of this, I got the verses from last week and everything. So here we got this whole faith thing, and he's this, Peter is just those guys that you just want to have as a friend. They might not be the smartest bulb or the brightest bulb or the, the sharpest tool in the shed all the time, but you tell you when the push comes to shove, he's going to probably react to something. It might be a bad reaction, but if someone's picking on you, you got Peter on your side. And so Jesus is trying to show Peter, don't always just react, like walk in faith. And so we get to this point of he's creating more problems. And so we're going to jump in Luke 22, 47 through 51. And I want you to catch this. This is the moment where Jesus is praying. This is before the crucifixion, Jesus is praying and he's asking the Lord, take this cup from me. He knows what's coming. As soon as he's arrested, so he has his disciples watching out for the guards and they stay and watch. And here's what it says. It says that Luke, it says, while he was still speaking to a crowd came up, and a man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of a high priest guard, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and he healed him. Okay. So as an illustration, I brought a sword. This is pretty fun, right? So I want you to catch this for one moment. Anybody in here who is a professional swordsman or woman? Raise your hand. Anybody? Yes, there's one. There's Ken Jolly back here. There is, if I ask Ken to come up to me right now and I say, Ken, I want you to cut off my right ear. Would you even try it? No. Because the chances of you swinging this thing and chopping off. So my question is, was Peter really gunning for his ear, or was he gunning for his head and he just missed? I don't know. I don't know that. All I do know is this. He cut the guy's ear off. So he like takes out his sword, and it might not have been this big. He cuts the guy's ear off, ear comes off. And here's Jesus praying, and all of a sudden he knows this is the guards of the chief high priest coming. If you touch them or do anything against them, dude, you're probably gonna be thrown in prison. If you hurt them, you might be killed. So here comes Peter, instant reaction, impulsive. Some disciples are saying, what should we do? Peter's like, I don't know what we should do. Here we go. Just tops the guy's ear off. Jesus is like, what are you doing? And so I'm going to come back to the story at the very end. So this is the way Peter is. So even though he liked that reaction, and then we move on to Matthew 26. So now at this point, this is before this. Before this incident, Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper. He is literally has his whole disciples there, and they're doing the elements like we're going to do today, and he's telling them things. And here's one of the things he says to Peter as we talk. He says, Jesus told them, the very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So he's just foretelling what's going to happen. But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. Here's Peter, the reactionary one, the one who is called to build the church, the rock. And Jesus is saying, he goes, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Jesus told Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And then they leave. Peter's like, no way. This is not going to happen. Matthew 26. You guys ready for this? Matthew 26, 69 through 74 says this. So Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a young servant girl came to him. You were also with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. A girl. A little girl. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, and then he went out to the gateway. There was another servant girl, saw him, and he said to the people out there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again. And with an oath, he says, I don't know that man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are the one of them, and your accent gives you away. And then he says this, then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I do not know the man. And then this is what happened. Isn't that fun? How annoying is that noise? You might be wondering, why is that on my phone? I just downloaded it as I was speaking. Just kidding, I'm not that good. But here's the deal. Think about this. Jesus literally tells them, you're going to deny me before this is all over. Before this day, you're going to deny me three times. He says, there's no way. I love you so much. Two young little girls, he said, I don't know this guy. Three times. Let me tell you, this is the same guy who Jesus said, you are the rock and we're going to build the church on you because you are strong. Same guy. Same guy that God gave a prophetic word to. This is the same guy when Jesus was walking on the water. He says, come, ask me to come out. And Jesus gives him the best one-word sermon ever and says, come. And Peter steps out of the water, walks on water towards Jesus, and nobody else did. This is the guy. This is Peter. And then when two little girls walk up to him and say, do you know Jesus? He's like, not me. I don't know that guy. I don't know him. And then we get to it. And then Jesus, and we get to this. And all of a sudden, here are the disciples, and they're denying Jesus, and they're scattering because Jesus is now dying on the cross, and nobody wants to go through the same thing he's going through. So everybody scatters and dies. And these are the same guys who've been hearing all these years, for the last 3 years, something. Anne's going to come on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And they know this. They know the stories. And all of a sudden, Jesus dies on a cross. They put him in a tomb. I'm telling you, if I was Peter, those 3 days of waiting to see what happens in a tomb has to be the longest. Anybody ever thought about that, how dark that has to be? Here's what you thought the Messiah was, and he died for you. And not only is it really, 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 really hard to grasp it, you're waking up every morning to a rooster crowing because that's the culture. And every time a rooster crows, it's a constant reminder of what you did to your Savior. Every single time you hear the rooster crow, you're thinking about the 3 times that you denied your Savior. And all of a sudden, you hear that faithful morning, that Sunday, you hear Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He's risen. He's gone. And the disciples, of course, go and people are there, but it's so hard to imagine. It's so hard to believe, and they don't really know what to do. So guess what happens when you don't know what to do? You go back to what you did. So I want you to paint you a picture. When Jesus first called the disciples, they were all fishermen. They were on a boat, and they were casting their nets to one side. And Jesus, this is 3 years before, Jesus comes up to them and says from the shore, you're not catching anything. Throw it to the other side. And they throw their nets on the other side, and so much fish come in, their boat almost tips over. And all of a sudden, Jesus calls them and says, you're no longer going to be fishermen. You're going to now be fishers of men. So he puts a call on all their lives to follow him. So all of a sudden, Jesus is rose from the dead. They don't know a next step. So they go back to knowing what they do know. And so they go back to being fishermen again. I'm not sure if you guys knew this, but check this out. They go back to being fishermen again. And so what's interesting about this, here, they've never heard this said. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's interesting because we celebrate, the truth today is this. John 11:25 says this, I am the resurrection and the life. Easter is amazing, not just because it's an event. Easter is amazing because we celebrate a person. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And that means within us, if we have Jesus living beside us, that means the power of the resurrection is living within us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that works in our life every single day. So here's what begins to happen. As this begins to happen, John 21, and this is after the resurrection. The disciples are back. They haven't seen Jesus. They don't know what's going on. They go back. Jesus is rose from the dead. They go back. And here's what it says. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them and said, friends, haven't you got any fish? They answered, no, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Anybody else see the similarities here? Isn't this awesome? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because it was so large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter. When it says the disciple who Jesus loved, that's John, John the beloved. So John says to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and he jumped into the water. Can I just tell you? I was reading this just this past week, and I could not, honestly, this phrase right here blew me out of the water. I never caught on to it before. We just spoke about this incident where Peter left his friends behind and started pursuing the Lord and started walking on the water. And then we get to a moment again after Jesus rose from the dead. He reveals himself to his disciples. And when Peter first realizes it's Jesus, what does he do? He jumps out of the boat again. He just says, he goes, I don't know if I can walk on water this time, but I'm at least going to go pursue the Lord. So he jumps out of the boat. He starts going after Jesus. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore. It said like 100 yards, like a football field away. And when they landed, they saw a fire burning coals, and they ate some fish and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many of the net was not torn. Jesus told them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Catch this for one. Can I just say one thing? If Jesus is your chef, you have the best restaurant in town. Dude, not Jesus says, hey, come to shore, bring some fish. I'm making breakfast. So they come to shore. The Jesus with the nail-scarred hands is making breakfast for the disciples who walked away. He's making breakfast for them. And Peter is like, can you imagine? At this moment, they're all questioning, is this the Messiah? Did we do the right thing? Is this truly him? We saw him die, be put in the tomb, and now he's here making us breakfast. For them, it's just confirmation of who he was. And then as breakfast is going on, I think this is amazing because this is the same scene that happened the first time they were called. Can I just tell you this? I was raised in Wilmer, Minnesota, and I went to church there. And some of my greatest moments of a teenager were moments when I went to the altar and I gave my life to the Lord. I surrendered my heart and God called me to ministry. I can take you to that church. I can take you to that spot in the altar or I surrendered my life and I gave everything to the Lord. I can show you the spot. I can show you the spot where a guy named Bob Hinkleman, who's now a pastor, who had severe MS, who was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't even hold his kids, puddled his way to the front of the church on a Sunday night service, and nobody was hardly there. And I can tell you, he was here, I was over here, and I could hear Bob groan. And I'm telling you, God works miracles. I'm just saying. I was over here praying, and I saw Bob, and I'm just praying like a ninth grader, just praying. I said, I don't know what you want me to do. I just love you, Lord. I just don't know what I want me, you know. And all of a sudden, I look up, and I hear this noise, and the wheelchair is empty, and Bob is running around the church. And I can tell you this. Was that miracle amazing? That was amazing. You know what the most amazing part is? Is when I saw Bob run to the back of the church service, open up the back doors, and his kids came in. Listen, he can never hold his kids. His kids came in, and he bent down, and he picked up all of his kids, and he held his kids, and he just cried, and he thanked the Lord. Removed, gone. Healing power, taken care of. Does it always happen? No. Does it happen? Yes. He's now a pastor. It's interesting. I can tell you the spot where I was, where that stuff happened. I can tell you at the camps where I was, where God did some work in my heart. Because here's the deal. When those moments happen, when something happens in your life and there is a change that begins to happen, you go back to those areas in your life. It's like Psalms and Proverbs. And it says, like Proverbs says, create in me a pure heart of God, renew a steadfast spirit in me. You know what I'm saying? He just says, remember those times, those moments that you had with the Lord. And it's interesting, at this moment, those disciples were remembering when they were first called, when they first met Jesus, and Jesus filled their boat, and then they were asked, listen to this, Jesus filled their boat, and they were praying for a fish, and then Jesus says, leave your fish and follow me. They saw a miracle, and they had to lay it down, and they had to go follow. And this is, and now, fast forward 3 years in the future, same thing is happening. Same, it's like deja vu. Think about this. Same thing's happening. Same scene, same sea, same boat, same fisherman, same Lord. Deja vu. And so Peter jumped out. And then this is the part that's hard to hear. And then Jesus goes to Peter at the end of this breakfast and pulls Peter to the side. Because God gave word to Peter and pulls Peter to the side. And Jesus says this. He says, when they had finished eating, this is John 21, 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of God, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, son of man, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then, check this out, if you got a highlight. Then the third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know of all these things, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. You know what I believe in my heart that was going on at this time? Peter's following Jesus. Peter's walking with Jesus. Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead. There's all this doubt, all this stuff going on. Peter doesn't even know who he is anymore. He said, I'm supposed to be a rock and I'm denying Jesus. I'm supposed to be a rock and like rocks, I sink in the water. I'm supposed to be this. And as soon as Jesus dies, I don't even know who I am anymore. You know what Jesus is doing? Just like he denied Jesus three times, Jesus is asking him three times, do you love me? Because what Jesus is doing is reinstating Peter's call on his life back into his heart. He's saying, Peter, just because you quit on me, I never quit on you. He's literally saying, just because you couldn't be my witness doesn't mean I can't be your witness. He says, Peter, just because you stepped away, I'm not stepping away from you. And he says, Peter, I'm making all things right because of the power of the resurrection. This is what's happening. He says, I'm redeeming you. I'm restoring you. And no one is you're not going to be known for your mistake. You're going to be known for something greater. And you are still the rock. And when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and then you read in Acts, the church of Acts was built upon Peter. Because Peter got reinstated and began to know who he is in Jesus Christ all over again. How powerful is that? The power of the cross and the power of the resurrection restored our heart back to what it was again. So let me go back to the story. Here's Peter. Wayne's out this. Anybody scared that I'm holding this? Front row. Oh! Just kidding. So here's Peter. Takes up the sword. Cuts out the soldier's ear. Now I'm telling you, if Jesus did not perform that miracle, Paul was going to go to a court case. Just like Jesus had to go to court, Paul would have to go to, I mean, not Paul, Peter had to go to a court case, and Peter had to stand before the judge, and Peter had to stand there and say, what did you do? And he says, I cut this guy's ear. And honestly, because it was a chief official, he probably would have been died or been at least in prison for the rest of his life. So here he is, cut off this soldier's ear, standing before the judge, going to be saying, now what? And I love this. Can I just tell you this? Lamentations 3, 58 through 59 says this, you, Lord, take up my case. You redeem my life. Lord, you have seen the wrong done to me. You uphold my cause. 1 John 2:1 says this, my dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will know not to sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate who pleads your case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who was truly righteous. Now listen, the word advocate is actually another word for lawyer, which is another word for somebody who is a supporter, which is another person, promoter, supporter, spokesperson, a backer, and a champion. That means when you go before the judge, your lawyer, his name is Jesus, goes on your behalf and he takes care of business. He, all of a sudden, people might throw this against you and says, you know what this guy did? He cut off somebody's ear. You know what this person did? They stole, they robbed, they had a bad relationship and they made tons of mistakes. I don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, you got Jesus Christ who doesn't say much. And all of a sudden, when someone that needs to be your witness and your lawyer stands up and says this, case closed, I take care of business. Because he's your advocate, he's your lawyer, he stands before you, and he's the one, your lawyer has never lost a case. Think about this for 1 second. Jesus reaches down. This is kind of a gross story, but this is the thing about this. The ear is on the ground. Dan and Brandon, you guys can come up here. The ear is on the ground. He reaches down, grabs the soldier's ear, touches the man's side of his head, and boom, it was healed. Can I just tell you what's amazing about Good Friday, what's amazing about Easter, is that we serve a God. When you come to him and confess and you say, I'm guilty, he's a God who literally redeems, restores, and listen, he removes all evidence. There's not a case file room that says, Dar, this is Dar's files over here. You know what I'm saying? There's boxes. You should see his pictures. These are all these files over here, and this is all Dar. You know what I'm saying? This is all this files. We literally serve a God, all son, who stands up and he says, case closed. We serve a God every single day. Now listen. Jesus reached down, grabbed the ear, put it on the guy's head. Now can you imagine this court scene? Peter's before the judge. Jesus is the lawyer. And you have all these prison guards who are witnesses, guy's ear being chopped off. And they're saying, Peter did it. He cut this guy's ear off. Here's the bloody shirt. We all were witnesses. And the judge is like, which ear? This one. It's attached. It's good, right? You can hear out of it. Oh, yeah, we're good. He still cut it off. Dude, what do you got to show for it? My friend saw it. Oh, your friend saw a miracle. That's amazing. There's a bloody shirt. I think that's where Jesus just says, I can show you my bloody clothes. And I feel on Good Friday, listen, every time those nails went down on a cross. What does Jesus say on his, what is Jesus' last words? He says, it's finished. Case closed. Listen. We serve a God. No, listen, there might be consequences for actions. Don't get me wrong. When we make a mistake, there's consequences. But when you come to the Lord and you confess your sins, he's not pulling out case files and saying, what about this? 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 This is what he's saying to you. I never quit on you. I love the story of Peter and Jesus, their relationship, because it shows me someone who was close, walking with Jesus every single day, who couldn't even figure it out until he was shown different scenarios, isn't it just like us? He's physically walking with Jesus, and he's still like, I don't know, I'm not going to deny you, deny. I'm not going to sink. I'm going to stick closer, running away from little girls. And then Jesus says, Peter, even though you made mistakes, even though you ran, even though you hid from little girls, I'm going to build a church on you. Can I just tell you this right now? A few of you in this room need to hear this. Because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he walked out of that tomb, because of the power that lives within us, I don't care what mistakes you made, your story is not over yet. Maybe saying, well, I'm just so far away. It says in scripture, God's arm is not too short that it cannot save and redeem and sanctify and bring back. His arm is not too short that it cannot bring back what he's called people to do. Listen, you're not too far away from meeting Jesus Christ in a different way. Everybody stand up this morning. Question I had this morning is, what if we live a life with just that feeling that our sins are forgiven and that we just have no condemnation? There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to do. It just means when you surrender your life and you say, Lord, forgive my sins, that means you just surrender this life and it means God covers it. Our natural tendency as people is to pull back when God wants us to step out. Fear wants us to hide when God wants us to be honest. Fear wants us to stay in the boat and faith wants us to walk on water. Fear wants us to run from something and faith wants us to run towards a cross. Jesus never quits on you. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the series, What If?